As we look around us, all the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, and so quickly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Christ, our loving shepherd, went out from the fold, seeking for the stray lamb that was lost in dark and cold. Tender hands of mercy raised us from the ground. Now the little lost ones have been found. Check your fold, my Christian, or the children in. Are there still some straying in the blackened fields of sin? You must go and reach them. Go without delay. Soon the shades of night will end the day. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost done, low sinks the sun. Souls are crying, men are dying. Win the lost at any cost. Win the lost at any cost.
Thank you, Brother Ingram. If you weren't here last night, boy, you missed an incredible, incredible message. You need to go back and read Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 8. And, boy, Brother Leslie did a great job just laying that out there for us. Enjoyed the message this morning in chapel by Brother Weaver, talking about the will of God. And I'm excited to hear Brother Leslie again tonight. Bring the Word of God. I hope you'll listen. I've been praying that God calls somebody out this week to some type of service in the field of missions. Brother Leslie, we love you. God bless you. Come preach to us again what God's laid on your heart.
Amen.
God bless you.
You bet. Amen. Boy, what a joy it is to be back tonight. It's a joy to be alive, isn't it? Praise God. Luke chapter number 17, please. If you'd look there, I'd like to get right in the message. Before I begin, while you're finding Luke chapter 17, I just want to quickly say thank you to the church. Boy, what a blessing Trinity Baptist Church has been to all of the missionaries, to our family, and the room is just incredible, you know, and we don't want to leave, you know. We might just camp out there and stick around, you know, but boy, it's just been a blessing, and the suit, all, just everything, it's been good. The food, I've been on a diet, I kind of broke it, you know. It's hard to stay on a diet with that kind of food, it's just impossible, so I quit, but I'm not sorry about it, really not, you know. I just told Brother Lasseter today I'm going to go to Croatia fat, and that's how it usually happens anyway, so I'll try to lose the weight over there, but praise God for all that food and all you people that have served, the ladies that have made the meals, and I know many of you have sacrificed tremendously to make us feel better than we deserve. And we sure thank you for that and all that you're doing for the Lord. And I'm excited about the message tonight. I really am. You know, I preach what God tells me to preach. And I know when Brother Lasher asked me to come, I'm sure that's what he wanted me to do, is get on my face before God and preach what God tells me to preach. And last night I was a little bit nervous, not just because of where I was at, but because of the message. I knew what kind of message it was. But tonight, you know, it's a little bit different, maybe a little bit different direction, and a little bit easier to preach. But I'm excited about the message tonight. And if you found your place in Luke chapter 17, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read the Word of God together. Luke 17 in verse number 5. And we're going to read one verse of Scripture, and it is verse number 5. The Bible says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Increase our faith. I'm going to talk to you tonight on this subject. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Our Father, we need you tonight. And oh God, I thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you for the time that I got to spend in it this morning and today. And thank you for these dear brethren and the fellowship that we've had and the blessings of God. And Lord, we've come tonight needing to hear from God. Lord, I'm excited about what you've put on my heart to preach tonight. But at the same time, I know that if God doesn't speak through me, nothing's going to happen. It'll just be empty words, Father. What we need is the Spirit of God to show up. And I'm asking you, Father, please to use me. I yield myself to you. I want to be your vessel, dear God. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would fill me, speak through me, and allow me to be used of God tonight. Lord, your people have come out on a Thursday night to hear the Word of God, to see the presentation. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to them tonight. God, I pray that people would listen on purpose. No one's going to be called of God if they're not listening to God. And I pray tonight that folks would listen. And Lord, tonight I pray that our faith would be increased. And I pray this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, last night I felt called to go to Scotland. Tonight, I'm going to go to Ireland. I'm going to sign up. I'm really grateful that Brother Lasseter has got me showing mine last on Sunday. That way I can be called back to Croatia before this thing's over with. So, you know, I praise God for that. So all you missionaries be going to Croatia. I don't know if you knew that or not, but, you know. But boy, I tell you, to see the need. I mean, you see those faces and people all around this world that just need God. People, they live their lives daily. They go through life. And you know what? They need God. God is the answer, the salvation, Jesus Christ. And boy, what a wonderful time a missions conference is to come together and just get refocused and to think that once again there's a world dying and going to hell. To think outside of ourselves, to think outside of our little community, our little area, and to realize there is a world that is dying and going to hell. You know, that's why we're having a missions conference. It's not just so we can come and look at pictures. It's to get a broken heart for people. To know there's little children growing up in Ireland that need Jesus. Little children growing up in Scotland that never one time heard, in a country like Scotland, have never one time heard there's a Savior who died on Calvary to save them. Little gypsy children in Croatia, they grow up in little one-room houses, no water, no toilets, nothing like that, no modern conveniences, and they need someone to go and tell them there's a Savior who loves them. That's why we're having missions conference. So I hope when you come that you're listening on purpose and begging God to speak to your heart, begging God to break your heart, begging God to do something. You know, if you're past feeling, I'd be worried about that if I was you. You can look at those slides and not feel something. I'd be worried about that if I was you. I'd be checking up on some things if I was you. If I could look at that and not have a broken heart for those little kids and moms and dads in Ireland that need the gospel. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse number 5, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." You know, as children of God, we are to walk by faith.
We're to live by faith, and we're to even die by faith. Everything we do ought to be done by faith. God wants His people living by faith. It is something that God wants out of His people. In our text, the disciples of our Lord ask something very interesting. They come to Jesus and they said, "Lord, increase our faith." Now that's just a simple little question. You know, they asked a lot of things throughout the Bible. And they come to the Lord and they said, "Increase our faith." God, we want to have faith. We know we ought to have faith. We know that we need to live by faith. We know that we ought to walk by faith. God, we know that we ought to even die by faith. But Lord, increase our faith. You know, as God's people, we need more faith. If we're going to bust that go wide open, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take some faith. Hey, God has called us to live by faith. If you're going to give what God wants you to give, it's going to take some faith. Not going to do it without faith. So God tonight wants us to have faith. And the disciples asked the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith." Now wait a minute, dear child of God. Think about who is asking the Lord to increase their faith. These are men that were there when there was a beggar named Bartimaeus on the wayside, and he was begging. His eyes were closed. He could not see. This was that man who could not see, and he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." These men that are asking that question to the Lord were there when Jesus touched the eyes of Bartimaeus and his eyes were open and he began to praise God and get excited about it. These were the men that were there when Lazarus was in the tomb and was dead 4 days, and Jesus went to the tomb and said, "Roll it away," and he yelled out, "Lazarus, come forth." Hey, they were there and they saw some things. These were the men that saw lepers cleansed. These were the men that saw the dead raised. These were the men that saw blind eyes open. These were the men that saw deaf ears open. These were the men that saw things that you and I couldn't even imagine. And they're crying out to God, "Lord, increase our faith." Now wait a minute. If they needed their faith increased, what makes you think we don't need ours increased tonight? Hey, we haven't arrived, folks. We're not where we ought to be. If these men of God could stop just a moment and say, "Lord, increase our faith," and they saw what they saw, don't you think for a moment that you and I ought to have our faith increased tonight? I cried out as I prepared this message and said, "God, increase my faith. I want to have some more faith. I want to have more faith in my life." If we're going to meet our goals, if we're going to do more as a church, if us missionaries are going to do more on the field, it's going to take faith. You know, we serve a big God. Y'all know that? He's a big God and can do big things. But it's going to take some people to believe that He can do some big things. It's going to take some people to tap into that and say, "God, I believe You and I've got some faith and I'm going to exercise that faith." Too many of God's people have become satisfied in their Christian life. You know, they're not striving for more faith. They're satisfied with the faith they've got. Hey, they're $10, that's good enough. They don't need more faith. Hey, that little bit of soul winning you do, that's enough. You don't need any more. Hey, brother, I'm not satisfied in my Christian life. I'd like to have some more faith. I'd like to do more for God this year than I've ever done in the past. I'm going to do some more for God. And if I'm going to do that, it's going to take some faith. I look at Croatia, and boy, I think for 10 years we've been laboring, and I want to do some big things over there. When I came to Croatia, I had big dreams, folks. I heard a sermon one time. The preacher said, "Hey, dreams cost nothing, so if you're going to dream, you might as well dream big." So I just learned to dream big. And so there's a Colosseum over there, and I always had a dream. We're going to fill that thing up. And it's a Roman Colosseum. They used to kill Christians there. And right there in Croatia, and I had a dream. We're going to fill that thing up and have preaching. I got there, and boy, they didn't want to hear anything I had to say. I thought, boy, it's going to be hard filling that thing up. I thought it was going to be pretty easy, you know. Not quite as easy as I thought it was going to be. Hey, we're not there yet, but I want you to know we're going to still do something for God in Croatia. We're still going to try to do something big for God. Now, I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to try and attempt some great things, as William Carey said, for God. And expect some great things from God. We're going to do that. And it's going to take some faith. I think Trinity Baptist Church, boy, this has been a great church. Souls have been saved. People have been baptized. I can no telling how many people have been called out of this church and are serving God all around this country. But I want you to know we ought not be satisfied. Hey, the best is still ahead. God is still God. God can call some people out. You know, it amazes me. I can remember back, 10 years ago, it seems like there's a lot more young people being called to the ministry than what there are today. I can remember altars being filled and young people saying, I'll go to Australia, I'll go to China, I'll go to wherever, Africa. Now you can't even get them out of the pew. Hey, folks, we need some more faith. We got less faith than what we had before. We need to get back to having some more faith. The disciples said, Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Now, dear child of God, you know what we're going to have to do tonight? We're going to have to get on our face before God and say, God, I want that kind of faith. I'm not satisfied with the kind of faith I've got. I want more faith. You moms and dads are going to have to do it in your homes. I think there's a reason that young people are not surrendering. Homes are messed up today. You see, when homes get right, young people get right. It's not the church's responsibility to get young people right. It's the home. It's not the youth pastor's responsibility. It's mom and dad. Hey, dads, it's your responsibility. We need to increase our faith tonight. Too many of us have become satisfied. We no longer are thirsty and hungry to see God work. How thirsty are you tonight? You know, I look at Croatia and I think, boy, I look back and there was nothing. Now, I haven't done everything we ought to do, and I'm not trying to glorify myself tonight. But I look back when I got there, there was nothing. Wasn't a Bible, wasn't a songbook, wasn't a tract, wasn't a church, wasn't a national preacher. And I look back and I think, boy, glory to God, God's done something. I want you to know I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I think the best day. Hey, I got an email the other day from Brother Sam. They made the newspaper. Boy, it made me jump out of my chair. They made the newspaper in Croatia. God put, and it's so big you could read the signs that they had in the newspaper. Everybody got that newspaper, could read those gospel signs. Hey, God can do some big things. When they stood out there and held those signs up, they didn't expect to make the newspaper so everybody could read it. But God said, hey, I want some more people to read that thing. You see, if we get out and do something for God, God can do more than we expect Him to do. We just need some faith. We're not at the place that we need to be. None of us are. I'm not. All of us could use more faith. Hey, if Peter needed more faith, if John needed more faith, if James needed more faith, I bet your soul that Johnny Leslie needs more faith. And I bet you need it too. They need it, I certainly do. So tonight, I just want to talk to you quickly about, Lord, increase our faith. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You knew that, didn't you? You know, faith comes from the Bible. We get faith from the Bible. So for our message tonight, I want to give you just a few things real quick from the Bible that will help us to have our faith increased. Just some practical things tonight. Number one, I want you to know the Word of God commands us to live by faith. You know, it's not an option to live by faith. If you're a saved, born again child of God, it is not an option to live by faith. It's a command of God. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Please turn over there, Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, God wants us to live by faith tonight. He didn't say you might live by faith. He said you shall live by faith. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14, verse number 20. The Bible says, for meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Now look at it, for whatsoever is not of faith, what is it? It is sin. See, it is God's command tonight that you and I live by faith. God is not saying, hey, I want you to live by faith. It'd be good if you live by faith. No, He's saying to you, you shall live by faith. It is sin if you don't live by faith. It is a command of God to live by faith tonight. And yet so many of us live by sight. We try to calculate everything, don't we? Hey, we look at the mission field and think, well, I'd go there if I could take care of this, 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 and that. Instead of just saying, God, if you want me to go there, I don't know how to happen, but I'll just do it. I'll go. I'll just do it. That's faith. You know, we are commanded by God to please God by faith. Hebrews 11:6, you all know it. For it is impossible to please God without faith. You know, you cannot possibly please God tonight without faith. And yet people in the world are trying to please God without faith. You know what faith is? Faith is taking what the Word of God says and obeying it and doing it. That's what faith is. And too many of us, too many times, are trying to do things without faith. We're trying to please God without faith. It can't be done, folks. You can't please God tonight without faith. Hey, the only way any child of God is going to please God is when that child of God will determine to live by faith. Faith is obeying God, doing what He says in the Word of God. So we are commanded to please God by faith. Secondly, we are commanded to prove God by faith. See, God commands us to live by faith. Number one, I said He commanded us to please God by faith. But number two, you're commanded to prove God by faith. Turn, if you would, to Malachi chapter number 3. It's a Baptist favorite verse, isn't it? All of you just grabbed your wallet when I said Malachi chapter 3, didn't you? Malachi chapter 3. You know, before I was ever a preacher, this is my favorite verse. I found so many blessings from these verses. A lot of blessings. I'm going to talk about them in just a minute. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now listen to it. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." But you see what verse 9 or 10 says? And God said, "And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." You see, God commands us to please God by faith, but He also commands us to prove God by faith. Hey, I got a hold of this long before I ever went to Bible college. My wife and I attend a little country church just south of here, and I heard some sermons about tithing. I started tithing. All I need, somebody show me what the Bible said. I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't understand it, but you see, faith is obeying what God said, whether I understand it or not. God said it, just do it, whether you can figure it out or not. So I started tithing. And then the guy, mission conference came around, they said I ought to give an offering to missions. So I said, okay, I'll give an offering. That's what it says. Bring your tithes and offerings. So I started doing that. And I'll tell you what, we didn't have much, but we gave what we had, and we tithed, and we was faithful with that, and God called me to preach. We were faithful going soul winning and so forth. Wasn't long, we were in Bible college, and we just kept giving that tithe and offering. And by the way, if there's any Bible college students here, you better be tithing, and you better be giving. You ought to just quit the ministry if you can't tithe and give. But God said, "Bring it in and prove me herewith." What's He talking about? He wants me to prove Him? You know, this is one of the texts that tells me how I can prove if there's a God or not. He said, "Bring it in and prove me and see if I won't pour you out a blessing." That's what He said. It's not what I said, it's what He said. He said, "Prove me now." When I was a boy, we used to, if one of the other kids in the neighborhood wanted you to do something you're not supposed to do, they would say, "I dare you to do it." You ever hear that? "I dare you to do it. I dare you to go over there and, you know, do that what you're not supposed to do." And then if you wouldn't do it, I mean, in Texas where I grew up down the road here, the boys, after you wouldn't do it the first time, they would say, "Well, I double dog dare you." You ever heard that? Now, I have no idea what that means. What's a dog got to do with anything? I have no idea. But that's what they'd say. And if they said that, boy, that's pretty, you're going to have to do it. "I double dog dare you." I mean, that's serious stuff right there. And so, you know, can I tell you, dear child of God? God is saying, prove me herewith. You know what he's saying? I double dog dare you to do it. Get out and just see if I'm not God or not. See if I can't take care of you or not. Bring that tithe. Bring that mission offering. Bring that bus offering. Bring that tithe into the storehouse and see if I'm not God. My wife and I have done that. I can tell you what, there's not an atheist around that could bring enough of his science books, whatever he's got, to convince me there's not a God. I've seen him work. I've proved him therewith, and God is God. He said, prove me by faith. I remember we was in Bible college. I'm going to tell you all the stories tonight, but boy, I might just tell you a few stories, but I can remember being in Bible college, and we just kept giving that tithe and kept giving that offering, kept supporting missions, doing what we could, obeying God, trying to be faithful to God. Hey, I was on fire for God. I haven't got over the fact that he saved me from where I was at. He said, bring it in. I said, no problem, God, I'll bring it in. I just kept bringing it in. And there were times we didn't have much groceries in the house. I remember living over in Arlington. I was a member right here at Trinity. And cabinets were empty. I was going to school over there at Norris. And not much food in the house. And we didn't know, had a couple of kids, didn't know where we were going to get our next meal. But we knew that God was faithful. He'd take care of us. My mother-in-law come up one day, and she didn't come over much. But she came over, and my wife's laughing, you know, but she'd come over, and that's an inside joke, I'll tell you later, okay? But she came over, and nobody knew our problem that we had. She worked over at Kroger's in Arlington, and, you know, they take those dented cans and dented boxes, and they just throw that stuff out. Well, she worked there. And she had a station wagon, folks, and that thing was filled with food. Now, she didn't hardly ever come to our house. She had no idea we had a need. And just happened, she came over and said, could y'all use this food? And I mean, that station wagon, the whole back of it was from the bottom to the top, all the way the seats were down. That thing was packed with canned goods and boxes, and there were all kinds of good food in that thing. And we said, sure, we can use it. We brought it in the house. We started filling cabinets up. And I mean to tell you, there wasn't enough room in that house to take all that food. And we took some boxes and canned goods to school and gave it to some other students there. Hey, I want you to know there's a God that said, prove me herewith and see if I'm not God. Atheists can stick that in his pipe and smoke it. God is God. He's God, folks. You know why we're not excited like we used to be? We have a proved him. Hey, we get out and prove him, and he does something like that for you, you'd get on fire for God. You'd get on fire for him. I remember going to Bible college. I used to be a courier here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I don't know if there's any couriers in here. I drove my own car around. That's what I did. Had to have my car to make a living and so forth for my family. Had two children at that time. I don't think Hannah was born yet. And support my wife, going to college full-time. And that car, the transmission went out in it. I didn't have money to put a transmission in, and I had to have that car. I couldn't get to my job. And I was given plasma over there in Fort Worth. You know what Bible college students do? You know, they get plasma. And hey, I was doing what I could. I gave my blood for school. What are y'all giving? Amen. I did. I went over there every day, and I laid on that table, and, you know, I still got scars from it. You know, I don't show anybody. They think it's probably not plasma, but anyway, you know, it's plasma. I probably got a receipt somewhere. I don't know, but anyway, I went over there, and I come in the door. Yeah, I did it every Tuesday, every Thursday. Got enough money for gas and, you know, different little things like that, and went in the door, and the little nurse there, you know, she knew because I come in all the time, and she said, you won! You won! Boy, she's just excited. You won! I said, what in the world are you talking about? What'd I win? She said, you won a brand new color television. I said, what? She said, everyone who comes in and gives plasma automatically go into a drawing. And they pulled it out, and I won. I didn't even know I was in a drawing. And I was listening to Lester Roloff, and we didn't believe in television. I mean, I listen to him 1 o'clock every day, and we kicked that thing out the door. Sad to say, I quit listening to him and got it back. But anyway, that's another story. Then he go get his tapes. I'm going to listen to Brother Roloff. But I had that television. And there was a guy in Fort Worth that had a used transmission. I called him on the phone and I said, sir, I don't have any money, but I just won this brand new color television. Would you trade me the transmission for the TV. And he said, sure, no problem, I need a TV. So got my dad's car and took that TV over. Won it, never missed a beat. Me and my dad put that transmission in. I didn't miss a day off of work. God said, prove me herewith. And boy, I tell you what, God is God. God is God. Boy, it set us on fire tonight if we'd prove God. He said, I command you, prove me herewith. We're going to be filling out a card on Sunday. You know what God's saying? Prove me herewith. How much you believe me. How much you believe. He's put something on your heart. If you're praying and you're open, he's going to tell you what to give. He's already been dealing with me about it. I'm afraid he's dealing with my wife, and she always gives more than I think we ought to give. But I don't let her touch the offering. She gives them away. Every time we get an offering, she wants to give it to somebody. So I'm going to fill the card out, Brother Lassiter. Man, I'm still working on my faith. It's increasing. Okay. But I tell you what, God said, prove me herewith. You know, God's God, folks. God's God. Well, you know what we need to do? We need to get out and prove Him. He'd come real to you. Young people, if you could prove God, you young people, listen to me right now, you could prove God. You bring your tithes and your offerings in, serve God, be faithful, and see if He won't bless you. That's what He said He'd do. Hey, if you do that, you'd have no problem getting this altar and surrendering to God. Why wouldn't you want to serve a God like that? Over in Croatia, many of you know the story, how that we're trying to build a church building. Maybe some of you don't know it. I won't tell the whole thing. It's kind of a long story. But we had to get a foundation put in. Didn't have any water on our property. Some of you know that story. We got the front end loader out there, and he began to dig. And by the way, we taught our people missions. They give to missions. And after they had our first missions conference, church in Michigan contacted us and said they want to come build a building for us. You see, God blesses even on the mission field. He'll bless missions. You get involved in it. And they were coming, and we had to get that foundation in. And boy, I was trying to raise money for a foundation. Church in Springtown, where my aunt goes, they paid for the foundation, gave us $5,000 to put a foundation in. God's good, isn't He? We didn't have our water hooked up. We needed a couple more $1,000, and we didn't have it. And trying to get everything else done, and didn't know how we was going to get the water to get that foundation in. We got the front end loader out there, folks, and they began to dig. And on our property, there was a big concrete cap down there. And they didn't even know what it was. We didn't know what it was. Nobody did. And we got some men over there in that front end loader, and we started getting that cap off, and we looked down on our property, and there was a well of water on our property. We took a bucket and a rope, and we lowered that bucket down and pulled that water up, and that's what put our foundation in. Tell me there's not a God. He said, prove me herewith and see if I won't pour you out a blessing. You say, well, God could have gave you the money. I'm sure glad He didn't. I'm glad He gave me a well instead. God could have done what He wanted, but He put a well on there. Hey, God's God. We're commanded to prove God by faith. We're commanded to please God by faith. Hey, we're just commanded to live by faith. It's not an option, folks. The thing that's missing today, too many of us are living too much by sight. What we can calculate. You can't calculate faith, folks. Sometimes you just got to get out and do it. If I'd have calculated how we was going to make it in Croatia, I never would have went. I'd have looked at me and what I had and looked at Croatia and thought there's no way that could ever happen. But God said, just trust me. Just step out. I can do what you can't do. You know what God's saying to some of you tonight? He's saying, just trust me. Just step out. Just do. Just take that step of faith and I'll catch you. See if I'm not God. Prove me and see if I'm not God. That's what He's wanting tonight. He's commanding us to live by faith. Secondly, the Word of God not only commands us to live by faith, the Word of God enables us to live by faith. Hey, you know, God didn't command us something that He didn't enable us to do. We are enabled to live by faith because of the person of the Bible. Do you know God can't lie? You know that Titus 1:2, you can look at it later, we're running out of time right now. But Titus 1:2 says God cannot lie. Can't do it. It's against His nature. You know what that means? If God cannot lie, and that's true, and I know it is, that means everything in this book must be true. That means every promise in this book must be true if God can't lie. You see, the person of the Bible enables me to live by faith. I know if God says, step out and I'll catch you, I know God will catch me. Because God can't lie. I know if God said, prove me now herewith, I know it's true. Because the person of the Bible cannot lie. Also, we are enabled to live by faith because of the promises of the Bible.
not only the person of the Bible, but the promises of the Bible. You know, this book's filled with promises. You know, we sing that old hymn, standing on the promises, and most of us are sitting on the premises. You know that old phrase, I don't know. Well, be standing on the promises. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. That's a promise from God. Hey, that's a promise from God. Give and it shall be given unto you. I was going to Bible college. I got another story I'm going to tell you. I can't help with this one. I love this one. You know, if you'd step out by faith, you'd have some stories like that too. Hey, I'm nobody. God picked me up out of a pit. I was a nobody when God found me. God said, just trust me. Boy, I'm going to do something for you. I was working that job, and there was a time the timing belt went out in my car. I had a Hyundai. God, don't ever get a Hyundai and be a courier. It just doesn't go together, okay? Had a Hyundai, and that thing was constantly breaking. I think I went through three of them. And the timing belt went out, and my wife and I, we had about $130, something like that. Now, my dad's a good mechanic. He helps me with a lot of the work, but the parts and all that we had to do. And all we had was our electric bill money. Had to get that thing. And like I told you, I had to have that car to work, or I didn't, you know, you can't make the rest of the bills if you don't work. And I went to the bank. It was payday. And, of course, I went and got my check, and that was going on rent and everything else, and had that $130 that we needed for the electric bill. And walked into the bank, and in the bank, there's this long-haired hippie guy. I mean, that big old long ponytail. He worked with me. He was a new guy named Clay. He was dating one of the girls in the office, and just as, boy, I mean, he was about as rough as I was when I got saved. This man, he'd gotten saved and had this big old long ponytail. I don't know what church he was going to, but I was in the bank cashing my check, and so was he. And he looked at me and said, Johnny, wait a minute. He said, God told me to give this to you, and he handed me an envelope. And I said, well, praise God. I don't know what it was, you know, but, you know, it's an envelope in a bank. That's a pretty good thing, you know. I'm not that stupid. I went out to my car, and my wife was sitting out there, and when it was my dad's car, using it, and hand her that envelope, and I couldn't even look in it. I was scared. I need $130 for that time bill. You know what was in that envelope? $130. $130 from a long-haired hippie. I found out later somebody had taught him about tithing. They just didn't teach him to do it at the local church. He was tithing to me. I got several more envelopes. I did. I'm telling you the truth. Every week I was getting an envelope. I impressed him because he thought I was real. I praise God for that, for a good testimony. And so he was tithing to me. Brother Smith, I don't know why he ever taught me the tithe goes to the local church. I had to teach him the truth, you know, and say, don't tithe to me anymore. Why'd you tell me you're tithing to me? You just messed the whole thing up, you know. There went my envelopes. But can I tell you something? There's a God in heaven. God said that missionary needs it more in that church he's going to anyway. So he gave it to me. Now, I set him straight when I knew what he was doing. I didn't know, but after a while, I got something's going on because every week I was getting a new envelope. And it's about the same amount of money every week. Can I tell you something? God's word enables us to live out. There's a promise in the Bible, give and it shall be given. You know, we's given. We gave our lives, we gave our money, we given everything we could for God, and God said, you give, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give back. That's why he promised it. It's a promise from God. And God can't lie. You know what happened if we'd get out and step out on faith a little bit? We'd experience some of that, wouldn't we? And I know many of you have. I know that. I'm just trying to remind you of some things tonight. We serve a good God. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great, mighty things which thou knowest not. That's in the Bible. Seems to me if that's true, we ought to do a little bit more calling, doesn't it? Seems to me we ought to have some 2 o'clock in the morning prayer meetings, doesn't it? Call unto me. I preached the youth thing in the TBA. Preached a couple of days of that. I remember talking to the young people about a great revival that happened in Wells. Started with a young man that got a burden for his people. He got up at 2 in the morning. Had a burden. He began to pray all night long. Prayed till 5 in the morning every night. The next night would come around, he'd wake up again at 2, and he just kept praying and praying and praying, calling unto God. And you know what the result of that calling was? God answered him. And a great revival spread out throughout Wells, and over 250,000 people in the coal mines got saved. You know where it started? With a young man that said, I believe the Bible, and God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. You know what happened in Arlington, Texas, if enough of us began to really... I'm not talking about our little five-minute prayer we pray. I'm talking about getting on our face before God, maybe waking up early in the morning and calling unto God and saying, God, do something with my life. Do something in this church. Do something with our young people. Do something with my family. Do something in this missions conference. I'm calling unto thee. God said, I'll answer you. That's a promise. You see, we're enabled by the person of the Bible, and we're enabled by the promises of the Bible. I got many more promises, but we'll go over them right now. But you know, there's many of them in the Bible. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh unto thee. I like that promise. God said, hey, you want to get close to me? Just draw close to me, and I'll get close to you. That's what he said. It's a promise. You say, I don't feel God's close to me. Well, maybe you're not obeying what he said to do. Draw nigh to me. I will draw nigh to you. It's a promise. Hey, we're enabled to live by faith by the promises. And then lastly, tonight, the Word of God not only commands us to live by faith and enables us to live by faith, but lastly, the Word of God challenges us to live by faith. A lot of scripture concerning that. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you say this mountain, remove them to yonder, hence, it's going to be removed. Hey, we are challenged by the many examples of God's people in the Bible who live by faith. You know, I read about Noah, and you know what happens when I read about Noah? I get challenged. I read about Caleb. I love Caleb. I love it when he went out with the 12 spies, and they had the 10 had the bad report, and him and Joshua came back and said, we can do it, God's able. Let's go take it at once. And the other 10 said, no, we can't do that, we can't do that. You know the story, they had to wander in the wilderness 40 years. And then Joshua is now the leader, and Caleb comes back and says, I still got the strength I did back then. I still want that mountain. I read that, you know what happens to me? Bless God, I get challenged. I think, hey, if he can live by faith, I can live by faith. I read about Daniel, and I read his life, and I think, boy, if he's got faith, I want to have faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they could stand up for God, I want to stand up for God. The Word of God challenges me to live by faith. We're also challenged by the many Christians of the Bible said would live throughout history. Turn, if you would, to John chapter number 20. One last scripture tonight. John chapter number 20. We'll be closing in just a moment, folks. I know we're tired. John chapter number 20, verse number 28, the Bible says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know who that is? That's you and I. That's J. Frank Norris. We went, Brother Todd Lasseter took us over to that museum, and I never didn't even know it existed. And just walking in that place and seeing those old Bibles over there, boy, I just felt something. I don't know if anybody else felt it, but I just kind of felt something. I thought, boy, that's a man of God who lived by faith. It challenged me. Why can't we have that today? I remember listening to Lester Roloff, and I'm serious, I listen to him every day at 1 o'clock. It set my young soul on fire. He'd get on there and sing that song, Living by Faith. I'd be set on fire because it challenged me to live by faith. I said, if he can do it, I can do it. I remember hearing Jack Hiles right here in this church. And boy, he preached. And we said, I think we were sitting way up there. I probably was scared. You know, I heard all those horror stories. So I sat up there, get away from it. But I tell you what, it challenged me. I heard him preach. And boy, this pulpit was going back and forth. And I don't know how old he was. He looked pretty old to me. But he was running like a young man. I thought, boy, that challenges me. I've heard time and time, I was sitting in Bible college and heard Dr. Smith preach, and boy, my soul just started burning on the inside, and I got challenged. I hear our preacher, Brother Lasseter, preach. I was here when we got back, and boy, I got challenged, thinking, boy, if these men of God can do it, I can too. God's not limited to a few. He wants to do that to anybody. I read about David Livingston, missionary to Africa. Read his story of how that he gave his life to those people, and when he died, the people took his heart out and buried it in Africa and said, you can have his body, but his heart belongs to us. That challenges me. I read about Adoniram Judson, who was in Burma and served there 6 years and didn't see one convert come to know Jesus. But he's faithful. Boy, great work happened. It challenges me. I read about John Huss, the famous preacher who would not recant. And when they had him to the stake and they said, we'll give you one last chance, recant of your faith. And he said,
What I preach with my lips, I now seal with my blood. That challenges me. I remember hearing about William Borden, a rich young man that was heir to the Borden fortune, and he left it all to go and be a missionary in China. That challenges me. I read about Curtis Hudson and Dr. Rice and Lester Roloff and J. Frank Norris and all of these men that live by faith, and it challenges me. What challenges you tonight, dear friend? Do you even want to have your faith increased tonight? I do. I'm crying out with the disciples tonight, Lord, increase my faith. Oh, we've seen some things in Croatia, but folks, I'm not satisfied. I want to see something big happen for God. Not because of me, because He's a big God. We can get out of His way, He could do something. I think God wants some big things in our lives, but we need more faith for it to happen. I think God wants some big things right here at Trinity Baptist Church. We've seen some big things, but I think He wants some bigger things because He's a big God. He can do bigger things. But it's going to depend on us. God, it's not a problem with God. God's ready. Problem's us. We're satisfied. We need to get unsatisfied, don't we? Cry out like these disciples and say, Lord, increase our faith. Can we stand to our feet, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. It was a very simple message tonight, but I think all of us need our faith increased. We're going to open these altars up, and I'm going to ask you just to come and beg God tonight. God, increase our faith. Do something with my life. Maybe a young person would come and take the pastor or the youth pastor by the hand and say, God is burning something in my heart and I need God tonight. I want my faith increased. I want to give my heart to God tonight. I'm going to surrender my life. Whatever God wants me to do, I'm willing to do it tonight. Come tell somebody. Tell your youth pastor. Tell your pastor. But let them know God's doing something in my heart tonight and I want to give my life to God. How about it tonight? Would you do it? Some dear Christian people here, and you've done great things for God. But we could do more. Won't you come tonight and just cry out, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith.
The instruments are going to play. Whatever your